Reading some verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place in your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. I am the product, and in my family this week, which is a rarity, I was with my mom and both of my brothers, two younger brothers. We're all in church, all serving the Lord, which is, you know, just a miracle of God's grace in our family. I know that I have gone through this, you've heard this a lot of times, but tonight I'm going to have to go back and repeat it because it's an important thing to see that your witness has great power. Great power. Amen. My mom was 8 years old. She was in a home where the family didn't serve the Lord and they were not attending church. And a Sunday school teacher from a couple of blocks away came down and knocked on her door. And I'm sure they were just canvassing and knocking on different doors and inviting them to Sunday school. And my mother and her younger sister, who now is saved and sits there in church with her, which is a miracle beyond imagination, honestly. When I see my Aunt Barbara there in church, I'm just so amazed at the transformation that's taken place in her life. But it was my mother and my Aunt Barbara that were the two little girls, 8 years old and probably 6 years old, that went to Sunday school because that Sunday school teacher came, knocked on the door, and they went to the house of God. My mom says, she tells me how that she would come home from those Sunday school classes and lay in the bed and just cry because she knew that she wasn't right with God. She knew she wasn't saved. And she was, as a child, so convicted by the things that she heard in the house of God. Well, you know the story that my mom eventually did get saved, and now my aunt is saved, and now the influence, it continues to spread. That's what this text is describing. It's describing the power of your witness and the power of the gospel to bring about change and transformation in the lives of people. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that the Word of God has within itself power to change lives. We've all heard the testimonies from these various Gideon speakers who come and tell stories of people who were in motel rooms or some way came in contact with a Gideon Bible and they read it and were saved because of the influence of a ministry like that. Even without a preacher, they had the Word of God that convinced them of their sin and offered to them hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I want to encourage you tonight to see that your witness will really make an impact. It can really change lives. Charles Finney, in 1865, his sermons were printed every week, 25,000 copies of them. His sermon that he preached on Sunday was put in print, and by Thursday of that week, that sermon would would have, there would be 25,000 copies of it printed and sent out. Now, one of those papers, one of those sermons in print, somehow was being used by a grocer and wrapped up a pound of butter in his sermon. And she bought it and she took it home. And as she opened it, she noticed it, she read it, and she got saved. Amen. Amen. Another example that I read from Spurgeon was that he would often speak to very large audiences when he took the church there, the Metropolitan Tabernacle. When he took that church, there were like 230 people that were attending that church. And when he finished his tenure there as pastor, which was over 30 years that he was there, that there were more like 10,000 people attending the services to hear Spurgeon preach. But there were no microphones, no PA systems. And one time, he preached to 23,654 people without a microphone or any kind of amplification, and they were able to hear it. And one time, he was testing the acoustics of a big agricultural hall. And so as he was testing the acoustics to see how his voice would carry in the building, Spurgeon shouted, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And there was a worker way up in the rafters of the building who heard this, and he convicted him, and the worker got saved. Amen. Amen. I want you to know your witness has power. It has power. The text says, "Our gospel, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." Notice that the Apostle Paul uses the term "our gospel." Our gospel. That doesn't mean that he was saying it's mine, like it's he was the source of the gospel. He said it was our gospel, and he repeated that a number of times in the New Testament, and even three different times he called it my gospel. Now, he wasn't claiming that it was, he was the source of it. He was saying that it had been entrusted to him, and he took responsibility for it. It's mine. It's my responsibility. It's our gospel. It's been given to us. And so now we bear a great responsibility to spread the gospel, to tell others about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:17, "A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me," he said. The gospel has been committed unto me, a dispensation of it. And it has been, it's as if he was saying, this has been laid upon me. It's my privilege and my responsibility to tell others about what Jesus has done for me. Praise God. Another place he says, we are debtors. We're debtors to the Greeks, to the barbarians. The Greeks were the rich socialites, and the barbarians were those that spoke other languages, were considered foreigners. And he was just outlining that there was nobody, no class of people, nobody that was not worthy of hearing a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who they are. No matter if they don't speak your language, they're a foreigner, they deserve, we're debtors to them. We owe them the gospel. Amen. To tell them about Jesus Christ. And so he said, our gospel came not to you in word only. Now our words, we know that words are powerful, but your words can't change somebody's life. It takes the word of truth. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your testimony of the gospel and the impact that the gospel has made on your life has the power to bring about change and transformation in the lives of people. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. It wasn't just our words, but it was also in power and in the Holy Ghost. What kind of a power? Well, we know that that the Word of God, the gospel, was God-breathed. It was inspired of God. And when God created Adam and formed him out of the dust of the earth, the Bible says that he breathed into him, and that form became a living soul. Only God could do that. Only God had the power to bring life into that lifeless form. Amen. And all he did was he breathed. It was inspired. And so the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is inspired of God. Amen. It is God breathed. And so whenever the Word of God comes forth, it comes forth with power. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm grateful for it. I've been blessed to sit under a lot of wonderful preachers over the years of my Christian experience. And I have to tell you, there's so many times when I hear the Word of God preached, and most of my Sunday afternoons, I am listening to one or two services and preachers and listening to them just inspired and blessed and encouraged by the Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It wasn't just in word only, but it came with power. All Scripture is inspired of God. It's God breathed with that, which has the power to bring life into just a form where there is no life. God is able to do that. So your witness, your testimony of Jesus Christ and what he has done in your life, it has the power to change the lives of people. Don't go out this next Saturday or whenever you have the opportunities to witness. Don't go out all backward and afraid and totally inhibited. But instead, go forth with confidence, because you're going to speak to them words of life. And they're in a hopeless situation in their sin. There's no way that there can ever be anything. Now, if Spurgeon can just scream out to testing the acoustics of a building, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," and some janitor in the top of the building hears that and is convicted and gets saved, almost on accident, then I can tell you that God can bless you and use you and can use your witness. Amen. So don't be afraid to be a witness for the Lord. It's with power, it says, and it's in the Holy Ghost. So not only is there inherent power within the Word of God has power in and of itself, but we also have the blessing of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Amen. And if you haven't ever been filled with the Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to cause you to be more effective when you witness. How will it make you effective? Well, the Word of God is already inspired and God-breathed and has power. And then God touches you, a human vessel, and anoints you and blesses you with His Spirit. And the Spirit of God not only is working on the vessel that's being used as the witness, but He also is working in the mind and the heart of the person that you're going to talk to. He's already softening their heart. He's already preparing the way. The Holy Ghost is already working in their hearts to bring them to salvation. How do I know that? I know it because God knows everything that's going on, and He knows those that are across your pathway, and He works in their hearts and prepares their hearts and their minds so that when you pass their way, that you can give them a word of hope, a testimony of the gospel. And God, by His Spirit, is already at work. Not only is the Word inherently inspired with power from God, God breathed, but He anoints the vessel, the messenger, and He works in the mind and the heart of the one that's going to receive the witness. Praise God. Amen. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It's talking about confidence. It's talking about complete confidence that the gospel can get the job done, that the gospel will work, that what we do, that it will have an impact, that the hearer will believe and that salvation will have a real impact upon their life. Praise God. Amen. That's the power of God's Word. It's the power of the witness. Now, I'm grateful for the inherent power of the Word of God, but I know that God has called you and me to be witnesses. And He's inspired us and anointed us and empowered us to be witnesses. So every one of us, without exception, you may be all backward and shy, but the Lord can give you and will. If you have a heart and a desire to talk to somebody about the Lord, God will give you the opportunity. If you remember back a few services, I was talking about how that we were blessed so that we could be a blessing. Do you realize that there's no greater blessing that you could ever give to anyone than to tell them the testimony of your salvation and to let them know that they could be saved too, and point them to the message of the gospel and let them see that Jesus wants to save them? And so we go with power. We go in the Holy Ghost. We go with confidence and assurance that God is going to accomplish what He's promised He's going to accomplish. Praise the Lord. As you know the manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling them that how we preached and how we lived and our example, we lived it before you. We were consistent with the message that we preached. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember. It doesn't do much good or any good at all. Maybe even does damage to the gospel if we live inconsistent and we're not really living faithful to the Lord, and then we try to witness and talk to somebody about the Lord, we can do damage to the kingdom of God. But He said, you see how we have lived. You see our life, our testimony. You see the example of our life and how that we have lived before you. Now, the wonderful thing that happens in this text is He said, and then you became followers of us and of the Lord. And you received the word with joy. And verse 7, He says, you became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, trumpeted out the word of the Lord like a sounding trumpet. You then in turn became a witness. Amen. Glory to God. Now that little Sunday school teacher that knocked on my mom's door, anything that's benefited the kingdom of God or anything that's touched the lives of people through myself or my brothers or my mother or our family, any good that's been done when we get to heaven, that little lady is going to get a good part of the reward. Amen. I don't even know her name. But any good that's been done as a result of that and lives that might have been affected or encouraged or people that have been saved, she's going to reap some reward for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it passes on. Generation to generation, and those that you witness to and those that you impact. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful influence that it can be. He says here, it sounded out from you, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. The Apostle Paul was just saying, we can just kind of stand back and now just observe and see you doing it. And watching you do it. We don't even have to say a word because you're so zealous and so busy spreading the gospel everywhere that you go. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you to be a witness. I want to encourage you to speak up for the Lord. The gospel is good news. Have we ever seen a day like the day we're in right now? There just seems to be a lot of hopelessness and a whole lot of fear. People are looking at things that are happening in our world right now, and there's a lot of fear, and people are wondering what's next, what's going to happen, how bad could it get, and even soon, how bad could things get? The world needs to hear some good news. Amen. From you, from me, they need to hear that there's hope, and that hope is in Jesus. That hope is in the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So sound it out everywhere you go and every opportunity you go that you have. Use it for the glory of God, to sound out a witness to a world that needs to hear about God. Amen. Amen. Let your witness be powerful. Let it change the lives of people. And that's what God will do and He wants to do if we will just yield and make ourselves available to Him. Amen. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that from this group here tonight, you can make some powerful witnesses. And I just ask, Lord, that you would challenge us tonight by your Spirit. Speak to us and challenge us, Lord, to see that we have such an opportunity right here within our reach, right here in our own neighborhood, across the fence, those that we deal with on a daily basis, those that don't know the Lord. Help us, Lord, to bring good news to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. Amen.